The tradition of Festivus begins with the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of The Airing of Grievances. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Micah.
Hey.
All right, guys, we're back. It's been a while. We finally were able to actually schedule some time to get these started back again. So this episode is entitled The Wink. This is, we're into the fourth episode of the seventh season. This episode deals with Jerry, who is becoming even more health conscious, but he's kind of a health conscious guy. Dating a woman who's all about eating a ton of meat. George is dealing with a at work trying to get a birthday card signed by all of the New York Yankees and the management for Mr. Steinbrenner. Elaine starts dating a wake up call service person, and what is Kramer doing? Kramer was attempting to almost sell the birthday card that was signed by all the New York Yankees. What did you think of this episode?
This is a stellar episode. This is an episode where everybody is doing their thing to the best of their abilities. It is everyone at the height of their powers, as the saying goes. Jerry is being ridiculous, right? Like he's being Jerry. George steals the show again.
Mr. Weatherby.
Even Kramer didn't annoy the piss out of me.
No, he's pretty good in this episode.
He's very good in this episode, and he plays off that little kid very, very well.
Yes, he does.
And Elaine is hilarious. I love this episode. This episode is wonderful. This episode is the final episode featuring Mr. Morgan.
The
guy who looks like Sugar Ray Leonard.
Yeah. That's racist. No, but he really kind of does look like Sugar Ray Leonard.
Yeah.
Like he does. Sorry. I like this episode a lot. I agree with you. Everybody is kind of really on. There's not a lot of Kramer, but it works.
Yeah. Just enough of him to be funny without overstaying as well.
Right. I think I like the Elaine story the most. Well, no. I like the Elaine Jerry story, right? Because they have a connection in the story, right?
Yeah.
I think that is definitely my favorite story. So the episode starts off with Elaine. She had hired a wake up call service, and the guy who calls her, he's got like a nice voice, and so he starts flirting with her.
That actor did not make that phone call. That voice that you hear is not the voice of that actor.
Oh, that's interesting.
The voice on the phone is a very, very famous actor who was just on an HBO show.
Okay.
His name is Peter Dinklage.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, that's Peter Dinklage's voice.
Oh, that's funny. Phone. And that just goes to show you, like, the bigotry of Hollywood, that they wouldn't make him the guy, right? Just because he's a little person.
Right.
Right, because if he wasn't a little person, he would have gotten that role.
Absolutely.
Obviously.
Right.
And he does have a great voice. Which is funny, because the whole thing is, like, she says, like, he sounds like he's attractive.
Right.
But that's fucked up. And not that Peter Dinklage isn't attractive, but by, you know,
yeah, by traditional standards,
people would say no. Which is funny, because Peter Dinklage has a normal height wife.
Yeah.
Who's actually quite attractive. I was like, hey, there you go.
Hey, get in where you fit in.
That's right. So this guy starts flirting with her, and he's like, oh, I'm surprised a woman with a voice like yours is waking up alone. I'm like, one, relax. You know?
Yeah, calm down.
You know, who's doing that?
You need to be a professional, man.
Right, exactly. Wake up. That's it. That's the end of the phone call. So she's like, oh, really? And so they kind of scheduled to meet, to go out.
Why would this service exist?
The only time I've ever used a wake-up service is at a hotel.
You've used a wake-up service?
Yeah, I have. I've used it one time.
You are just uppity.
It's what the hotel offers.
Nah, yo. They offer alarm clocks also.
I don't know why. I think it was partially, I was like, I've never tried this.
Pinky's up. I've never tried this before.
Right. I think that was all it was. Like, there was no logic behind me needing it. Like, But I think that's the only reason why I did it.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah, I'm going to look this up. Is there wake up call service? Snoozter? Yeah, you can get Snoozter right here. Boom. They'll call you.
I mean, look, I'm not surprised that it exists because anybody will pay for anything.
$54 a year?
Yeah, for what? I better get a date out of it.
Yeah, that's an unlimited amount of Snoozter calls.
Nah, man. Nah. And it's probably just like an automated recording.
I want to sign up for this.
This is your Snoozter alarm. Wake up. Like, no.
No, I want somebody to talk to me.
Yeah, you want a real person.
Yeah. If I'm paying $54.99 a year, I want someone to be like, you are very handsome. I can't believe with a voice like that, you'd be waking up alone. That's what I want to hear from a woman, not from a dude. Although I'd be flattered, I guess. So she decides that that's what she's going to do because I guess it's before the internet really took hold and you could just meet someone online.
Yeah.
So you just meet a murderer through a phone service. So then there's a scene with Jerry, Elaine, and George at Monk's where they're talking about how Elaine is meeting this guy that she's never seen before. And Jerry is meeting a person he's seen, Elaine's cousin, that he's seen a picture of, but he's never heard her. And she's like, you're going on a deaf date. He's like, you're going on a blind date. And then, of course, George is like, or Jerry says, well, of course, that begs the question, who would you rather date, the blind or the deaf? And Jerry's like, I think I would rather date the deaf.
See, I don't understand that from him because he's a comedian.
Yeah, you would think he would want somebody to hear his jokes.
Yeah, you would want somebody to hear his jokes.
But he's
man.
Also vain.
I guess, but again, the vainness would come with the comedy, right? Like, oh, I'm so funny, you gotta hear this, right? And George is like, well, you know, I would rather date a blind person, because, you know, you can let yourself go.
Yeah, let the house go.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Jerry's reason for not dating a blind person is because he thinks that they wouldn't be tidy and you'd be picking up crumbs all the time, which is such an asshole Jerry thing to say, but it's probably true.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so, okay, you going deaf or blind?
No, 100% blind. We've had this conversation before.
You would prefer to date a blind person?
Yeah, I would prefer to date a blind person. You know why? Because blind people need you. They need you.
I feel like a deaf person needs you.
Nah, they don't need you.
There's a car coming, right?
Nah, like, they don't. They can see that.
No, but if they're looking the other
look
way,
look left, look right, look left again. They can see that.
Nah,
no,
yeah. My wife is blind. Is not blind or deaf, and I am like, hey, there's a car coming because she's not paying attention. It happens. No, I disagree.
Nah, man, I would rather date a blind person, right? Because one, they need you, right? Like they are dependent upon you, right? So therefore.
Like Micah sees relationships.
So therefore, you are the center of their world. They can't do anything without you, right? Mm. And two, like, all the cool shit happens for blind people, right? Like blind swordsmen and shit like that. Like, blind swordsmen are badass, right? Like,
so you're, in your scenario, you're dating a female Zatoichi.
Yes, exactly. There are no deaf swordsmen.
Like not that we know.
That's not popular. What? There are no deaf superheroes, are there?
There's got to be.
Right? I don't think so. Not mainstream. Something somebody made up.
What are the blind superheroes?
Daredevil.
All right, that's pretty good.
I mean, that's all you need. You got your quota filled.
There are
no deaf video game characters. I'm thinking of a blind Mortal Kombat character right now. He's a blind swordsman.
Yeah, it's true.
Kenshi. Nobody. Yeah. Nobody. Yeah.
Damn, I don't even think there are any.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I mean, not anybody.
There's a mute superhero. There's a mute superhero, but not a deaf one.
How about this? Incorrect, because they are making one of the characters in Eternals is being played by a black woman, and she's deaf. first deaf superhero.
They have to make them deaf.
I don't know if that character's deaf in real life or in the comics.
I just read The Eternals. Ain't no deaf characters in it.
Oh, well. There is now.
They're really changing that character up. I think that character was like a white man.
Yeah, it's a white man who runs fast, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, surprise, surprise. He is being played by a beautiful deaf black woman. So that's a hell of an upgrade for him. I guess I'm going deaf. Mm. I'm going deaf.
No.
Because I want someone to see my visage.
No, I'm ugly.
No, I know. That's a good point. That's a good point, yeah. You want to cover that up as much as you can. So Jerry's trying to eat better, and so he gets a veggie sandwich and a grapefruit. And Elena's like, "What are you turning into?" And he's like, "A healthy person? Like, what is wrong with you?" And while he's trying to eat his grapefruit, he squirts some of the grapefruit into George's eye. It causes George to be like winking at work unbeknownst to him. And so, his boss is like, "Hey,
where's Morgan?"
Yeah. Where's Morgan? He's like, I think he's around here, or, you know, I think he's going to be late or whatever. And he's like, "Well, if there's any problems with Morgan, you know, let me know." And George is like, "Oh, yeah, I'll let you know, but I don't think there is a problem." Then he winks, you know, uncontrollably. And the guy's like, "Oh, I see. Well, you keep me informed about this Morgan guy." So, of course, his boss thinks that he's, you know, diming him out. So from there, Kramer gets a hold of this card. So, or this envelope that George has, has a birthday card.
Yeah, it's George's responsibility to get this birthday card for Steinbrenner signed by everyone,
right,
including Mr. Morgan. Everyone has signed it except for Morgan, right?
Right.
So George is responsible for it. And they're over at Jerry's, and George has an interoffice envelope, you know, the big, long 14x11 envelopes with everyone's signature on it. And Kramer's like, "Hey, what you got there?" "It's an envelope, bunch of signatures on it." "Oh, you know what? I know a guy that would pay handsome money for a bunch of autographs. Let me check it out." And he grabs it from him, and George is like, "No, don't do that." Wink.
Wink. Yeah.
And Kramer was like, "I got you. Okay."
It. Yeah. So he takes the envelope down to like a sports memorabilia place. And this guy's like, "Yeah, it's just a bunch of signatures on an envelope, or like on a interoffice envelope. I'm not gonna give you anything."
Yeah, who cares?
Right,
it's garbage.
And so then he opens the envelope and he sees that there's a birthday card signed by all the Yankees for Steinbrenner, and he's like, "This I can work with." So he offered, I guess he offered him some amount of money,
$200.
For all of the New York, I'd be like, "Yo,
yeah,
I'd
right.
be like tens of thousands of dollars. Are you right. crazy?" So back at work, Morgan asked George where the card is, and he's like, "Oh yeah, it's around here somewhere." Morgan, I'll get it to you. And Morgan's like, "All right, I'll talk to you after I get back from my massage." And Morgan's standing there with his wife. And he's like, "Yeah, I'll see you after your massage." Wink. And his wife is like, "What the fuck?" So she thinks like it's more than a massage, you know.
And his wife looks looks just like Aunt Viv, the black Aunt Viv.
Yeah, original OG Aunt Viv.
OG Aunt Viv. And that's what I imagine, right? Like her just the way Aunt Viv yells at Philip, that's what I imagine she was chewing his ass out.
Oh, 100%. 100%. So Elaine meets the phone service guy at Monk's. Delighted.
This is how I know women are assholes, right? He comes in. He's
yeah,
like,
dude.
Elaine, and she gets up, she shakes his hand, and does this exaggerated, whew, like, dodged a bullet with that one.
Yeah, thank God you're not ugly.
thank God you're not a little person. Wait, what?
Like, I'm sorry, did I say that out loud? So they're having their date. Like, we don't really see it. Jerry goes on his date and meets up with Elaine's cousin at a place called the Old Homestead. And it's all like, it's like a super meat restaurant. And yeah. She's like, "I'll have the, you know, like the fucking prime rib or something like that.
You go to places like that? I know someone who goes to Fogo de Chão every year for his birthday. He loves just like meat, 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 meat.
I know a guy like that too. No. I no. Like those places, I've been to.
I've never been to a meat market like
so,
that.
So, one, it's delicious. Mm. Two, it's disgusting.
Like it feels like a lot. Like it feels like my chest kind of is palpitating right now because it just kind of.
This is a thing for like 25-year-olds,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Because Americans eat way too much meat, which is why we're incredibly unhealthy, partially. Well, more not that we eat meat, but we just don't eat vegetables. like greens, fuck that. So there's that, but I've been to those restaurants. Like, you know that they sit you down, right? They have, like, this amazing salad bar, by the way, that's, like, incredible.
That nobody goes to.
Well, like, you can get, like, right, you should, like, kind of warm your body up a little bit and then get people like, no, fuck that, all steak, son. I'm like, yo, that is not the way to eat, like, a human being. But so there's this great salad bar that's really amazing. Then when you sit down to get the meat, like, they give you a card, and on one side of the card is green, the other side is red. They keep bringing meat to you, and you keep going, like, I want that, I want this, I want that, as long as that card is green. And you put it red when you're like, please stop, my arteries are dying.
Yeah.
And you can take a break. You can flip it back and forth as many times as you want. But, like, to stop them, and there's, like, they're just guys, because it's Brazilian style, right? So they're just guys with swords of meat, literally swords of meat, of, like, prime rib. And like, they've got in different levels of doneness and stuff like that. It's an experience. And I would say you should do it. Doing it every year or multiple times a year is nonsense. And you shouldn't do that. People who think that's, like, a great restaurant are not foodies to me.
Oh, okay.
You know, you're like, this is the best, right? This is the best restaurant in the city. No, it's not. You just like it because of the abundance of food. Like, that's like saying Sizzler is because you can pay $12 and eat as much as you want. Like, no. And it's all you can eat, right? It's literally as much meat as you can shove into your fucking face. I mean, it's expensive though. Like, it's like $50 or something like that. $50, $60.
Oh, yo, that's a lot of money.
Right. So you might as well get as much prime rib as you can.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't know. I don't find it particularly appetizing. I feel like a miserable prick afterwards.
Like, yeah. I feel like I would die at this point. Yeah. At this point. Like, I don't know.
It's not for me.
They sell seafood there? I'm on their,
oh, yeah. Website. I'm sure they do.
All right. Well,
like, you can just get the salad bar for like $30, you know, or you can get like
$30 for unlimited salad.
But it, like, it's got like other things on it, right? Like, it's an
intense. Some meat in my salad.
Yeah, like they got a couple of like meat things in there. But no, if you came for the real shit, like you got to pay. Like,
all right,
it's pretty wild.
I might do it once.
I'd say do it once. But this woman's like, I'll have a porterhouse, medium rare, baked potato, sour cream.
I've never seen a woman eat like that. Just like a bunch of red meat like that.
No.
Yeah, this was all right. I just want to make sure.
Porterhouse. Like, yeah. A porterhouse is a big fucking steak. Isn't a porterhouse like, isn't that like the T-bone and the filet?
Let's find out.
I feel like that's what a porterhouse is. Yo, that's a porterhouse steak. That's enormous.
That thing is huge.
Yeah, a porterhouse steak is a composite that's derived from the point of the tenderloin and the top loin meat. Yeah, it's a lot of fucking meat, dude. That's a lot of meat.
Yeah,
that's
two steaks, yo.
That's too much. That's too much. I wouldn't order a porterhouse.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, no. I would personally not order a porterhouse.
I mean, at least she ordered it properly, right?
Yeah, she got it medium rare, so good for her. But nah, yeah, I'm not. That's absolutely insane. And Jerry's like, okay, like, do you have anything besides red meat? And he's like, how's the chicken? He's like, it's a full bird stuffed with ham, topped with gorgonzola. Jesus Christ. He's like, I'll just have a salad.
Lighter?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I'll just have a salad. And then later on in the episode, She's like, oh, okay, you do eat meat? Because, so they're sitting back at Jerry's house, right? And Elaine and Jerry. And Jerry's asking Elaine what her cousin thought of the date. And she was like, well, she thought it was kind of odd, you know, that she only ate salad. You know, it was kind of odd that, you know, for a man.
Yeah, right.
I'm like, yo, are you, like, this is how problematic this show is nowadays, right? Like, back in the day, nobody would have thought anything of that. But apparently, if you don't eat meat, you're a sissy?
But here's the thing, though. I feel like there's a decent chance you could meet people now who would think like that, which is crazy. I'm dead ass serious. I think you could definitely make an argument to some people to be like, yeah, no, that makes total sense to me. Which is wild. Like, that's super wild to me. But no, I think they could. I think you could convince somebody to be like, no, having a salad, you're a bitch ass dude.
And she even, like, later on, she was like, I thought she was, you know, one of those people.
Yeah.
You know, because you didn't eat salad. You
right,
know what, like, I mean? Like, she whispers it like it's a dirty word. Like, she,
okay. You're right.
You know what I mean?
Or like, or she's implying a vegetarian, which in her eyes is basically gay,
right.
Which is fucking hilarious. Like, my God. Yeah, like, tell her about a vegan. She'll lose her mind. So at that point, Elaine meets her new boyfriend, or the guy she's dating. She meets his two dogs, and he's like a big dog guy, and the dogs like don't like her. And
yeah,
he's,
of, like, course. They're freaking out. Of course.
Because it cuts back to her yelling at that dog and having that dog sent out of town.
And they talk.
Yeah. He's like, I'm really afraid of this. So then we get a moment where Kramer tells George that he got $200 for that card, and George is like, get the fucking card back, you asshole. They have, and he does this, and Kramer's like, oh, do you want me to get the card? Because, like, George winked. He's like, you want me to get the card or, like, not get the card? And George says something that's really funny. He's like, get the card. He's, like, holding his eyes open, which is just fucking funny as hell. So Kramer's like, all right, I'm going to go get the card. Then Jerry's having dinner at this woman's house, and Elaine is there, and they're talking about their grandma Mema, and, you know, like, Elaine and her cousin just kind of hate each other, really.
Yeah.
And but Elaine's cousin made dinner. She made mutton.
I've never had mutton.
I've never had mutton either.
Apparently mutton is derived from lamb.
Okay. I thought that's might be what it is. But yeah, it's got a lot of fat on it, apparently.
Yeah.
So it doesn't look appetizing to me.
No, it does not.
But he starts taking pieces of the mutton and shoving it in his pockets because he like when she's not looking. Kramer meets up with a kid who has the card. It's been mounted in, like, under glass for this kid who's sick.
This kid
is adorable.
He is. He's, you know, he's like, he's something out of a 1940s serial. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He also is, he's played by Thomas Dekker. He's the same kid that Mickey used as a stand-in for All My Children
okay.
in the fifth season.
That's funny. Yeah, this kid's adorable. He's only willing to give the card back if Paul O'Neill, who's his favorite Yankee, hits two home runs in a single game.
Oh, come on, yo.
Which is wild.
Hitting a home run ain't easy, especially if you're not like a home run hitter or a steroid user. So, you can tell Kramer doesn't know anything about sports. He's like, whatever, I'll say whatever to get this thing back.
Yeah, who gives a shit?
Kid.
I don't know. I'd have strong on the kid. I'd have taken that card like Jerry takes that marble rye.
Right. Yeah, right. Like,
hand it over your old bag. Like, get out of here. So during the game, like, Kramer sits with the kid,
yeah,
and Paul O'Neill hits one home run, and he's like, yeah, woo! And the kid's, and he's like, hey, little Timmy, can I have some of your juice? And the kid's like, after Paul O'Neill, or no, like before he hits the first home run, he's like, you can have some of my juice after Paul O'Neill hits his first home run. And like after he hits the first home run, Kramer like reaches over, he's like, ooh, his juice is so good. Which is fucking hilarious. Like, I like that they stuck to that point. Then Paul O'Neill hits another one, but it's an in the park home run.
Yeah. So basically he hit the ball and he was able to make it to all of the bases before being tagged out, before anybody tagged him out. So it didn't go out of the park, but you know, because of a bunch of errors on the other team, probably the Orioles, he was able to make it home. But it turns out that there was an error. And instead of an inside park home run, it's a triple.
Right.
And the kid is like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
He's like, yo, that is not.
You said that he would hit two home runs. And Kramer was like, yo, he made it all the way around the bases, yo. Like, it's not my fault that somebody made an error. And the kid was like, nah, yo. And Kramer was begging and pleading, and then it cuts.
Yeah, which leads us to obviously believe he strong-armed that kid.
Of course he did. He strong-armed a paraplegic kid.
He was like, you know, Paul O'Neill has a dream for you, kid, or something like that. And he's like, for me to stand up and walk right out of this room. He's like, yeah, sure, whatever. But to give me that card. Like, he didn't give a fuck about that kid, which is hilarious. Jerry's girlfriend comes over to the house and she's like, oh, I'm going to cook you some dinner. I bought you, some fucking, pork chops. And he's just like, fuck, I don't want any of this. And so he starts hiding the pork chops in his couch cushions.
Yo, just tell your woman that you don't like to eat meat, yo. Like if your relationship is based on meat, like it's not. Like, that's how much dudes would do anything just to hit it.
Yeah, we will choke down food we don't want. Pork chops is great. Take your pants off.
He goes through women every week, yo.
Like, Jerry Seinfeld is a whore.
Yeah, he's a big whore, yo.
And this is episode, I think, 107, and there's been, like, two double episodes. He has pretty much fucked, like, 109 different women on this show. Pretty much every episode, he is fucking someone else. It's kind of amazing. And we just accept that, by the way. Like, that is a completely accepted fact.
Yeah.
It's James Bond. It's actually Jerry Seinfeld, James Bond, and like
Jesus.
Wilt Chamberlain, as far as like sleeping with a woman.
Well, there you go.
Cut back to the office. Kramer brings in the mounted card, and everyone's like, wow, George, you did such a great job. This is incredible for Mr. Steinbrenner. And Morgan's there, and he's like, yeah, you fucked me again, Costanza, you son of a bitch. How am I supposed to sign it? Then we come back to Jerry's apartment, where Elaine's boyfriend comes in with his two dogs, and they start going crazy on the couch, and they find all of the pork chops that he had hidden that he didn't want to eat. George goes in to see Mrs. Steinbrenner, of course, played perfectly by Larry David. And he's like, oh, thank you for, you know, thanks for the card. You know, I noticed Morgan's name is not on here. It's almost like he went out of his way not to sign it, considering everyone else is here. That guy's fired and you have his job. And he's like, I've had to let a lot of people go over the years. And he just starts naming people. He's like, Yogi Berra, Bucky Dent, Billy Martin. And then he goes to some other people. He's like, Billy Martin. Like, Billy Martin, who he, I guess, fired and hired a number of times.
Yeah, the number of times Steinbrenner repeats Billy Martin is a reference to the fact that the former Yankees manager was given a multitude of second chances. Out of interest in gambling circles, a second chance is known as Billy Martin, as a Billy Martin.
Wow. Yeah. That's crazy.
Like, that's how many times this guy has been fired and rehired, I guess.
All right. So that's the end of the episode. Any parting words there?
Yeah, this is a funny episode, man. This is very, you can get a lot of clips, a lot of good sound bites out of this episode. It's one of the better ones this season.
There you go. All right, guys, that is it for us. We are back now on AOG. So look forward to the next episode next week. We'll see you guys later.
See you.
Bye.